Mark chapter number 13. I want to just very quickly close out that message that we had from this morning. As I got home and looked over my notes again, I realized this. Well, you know what? I probably could have finished it, amen. But I remember my pastor telling us young preachers as he taught us every Friday night there at our little church. He said, "Fellas, let me tell you this. The ears can only take what the seat can endure," amen. And so I preached about 40 minutes, somewhere close to that, and probably all you can endure. And then as I thought about that this afternoon, thought about that illustration, I began really to think about this. We'll sit and watch a whole movie, 2 hours without moving, not getting up, getting a drink, not using the restroom, not doing anything. But yet when we come to God's house, we need to be out, you know, lickety-split. So we'll finish up what God has us for here in Mark chapter number 13. We've been looking at this message about John Mark, the young man who turned back but later turned out. As just an introduction before we read the scriptures again, we saw, first of all, who John Mark was. And we saw that his name was Mark. It was Marcus, or in other words, by the name of John Mark. We saw that he had a great upbringing. His mother was a Christian and probably part of the foundational of the New Testament church, probably part of the 120. The Bible doesn't say, but maybe historians might lean towards this thought that the upper room where they met for the Lord's Supper, where they met at Pentecost in Acts chapter number 1, probably would have been an upper room inside their large house. We did see as well that the local New Testament church in Jerusalem was praying in there while Peter was in prison. So we saw that he had a great upbringing. We saw that he had godly relatives, amen. Not only was his mother, Mary, a good godly Christian, but he had an uncle by the name of Barnabas. And Barnabas, of course, was an apostle, was a missionary with the Apostle Paul, and they served together. And then we talked, not only did he have a good upbringing, but he had a great ministry opportunity. And as we closed out, we had given you about 5 or 6 things for those who maybe felt called into full-time service, some things that they ought to look out for and think about it and meditate upon. But I want you to understand this. Whether or not God has called you into his full-time service, those 5 or 6 points we looked at oftentimes can apply to the ministry that God has entrusted you with. Whether it's the bus ministry, whether it's a Sunday school class, whether it's teaching at our day school, no matter what that is, we find that those things should apply to your life as well. And so before we have the Lord's Supper, we want to think about the last 2 parts. And so let's stand as I give respect to the reading of God's Word. And we'll begin reading in Acts chapter number 13. And we'll begin reading verse number 1 down through verse number 5. And they were in the church that was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manan, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, with Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work wherewith I have called them." And when they fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Lucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we close out this message, we started this morning, Father, I pray, Lord, as we look at these last 2 things about John Mark, I pray, Father, that you would speak to our hearts as you did in the morning service. Challenge us, Father. We'll see in just a moment that John Mark had a great failure. But, Father, later we see that he was restored back to a useful service by you and the Apostle Paul. So, Father, I pray that you would just challenge hearts, Father. Do a work in our hearts, Father, that only you can do, that only you know about this very evening. So, Lord, we pray and ask these things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Notice, first of all, as we look at John Mark, notice fourthly, that he had a great failure. John Mark had a great failure. So notice his departure in verse number 13. We read it this morning, but let's read it again in verse 13. "Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia. And John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. Notice, first of all, his departure. As a young man and a disciple of Barnabas and a disciple of Paul, something happened that caused his faith to weaken. Understand this, that a person just doesn't go to the mission field and all of a sudden just turn around and come back. Some things have to take place in his life. Several different things we'll look at in just a moment might have lended toward that. But understand this, there was some form of a spiritual failure inside his life. And so we saw that he left Paul and Barnabas on their very first missionary journey. And for one reason or another, John Mark quit when they needed him the most. You say, well, why did he quit? We don't exactly know why he quit, but I think that history, and I think that we can look at his life, we can maybe determine some reasons why he might have quit. Perhaps he was afraid, number one, of the tough and dangerous travel through the mountains that he was going to have to take to get to Antioch of Pisidia. And so to get there, it was a treacherous mountain hike that he had to get there. And up that trail, there was thieves and there was robbers. And so no doubt when he heard that's where he was going, perhaps maybe there was a spiritual failure in his life, and he said, listen, I've heard about those places and I'm not going to go there. And so he maybe determined in his heart that this was not where he needed to be. Maybe he resented the team of his cousin Barnabas and Saul. You see, in the very beginning, it was Barnabas and Saul. And then in Acts 12, in our text in verse number 13, we find the wording change. It says, now when Paul and his company. Maybe he just got a little sideways, and maybe he didn't like that Paul was being in charge and not his uncle. Remember, Barnabas was his uncle. Barnabas, no doubt, took him under his wings. Barnabas might have been the one that invited him to come along on this first missionary journey of himself in Paul. So whatever the reason was, perhaps he could have got a little sideways with the great apostle Paul, because it used to be Barnabas and Saul, and now we find it was Paul and his party. Then thirdly, I think another reason that he could have turned back was because he lost confidence because Paul suffered poor health, according to Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 13. So all these really are just speculation, but it gives us some idea. Why would John Mark, after being invited to go on a missionary journey, after just one little bit of that journey, decide that he was headed back to Jerusalem? Here's the thought that I had. Pastor James and I discussed it this past week, and he thinks perhaps this might be a greater reason as well. I think it might be because God never called John Mark to the mission field. Perhaps his uncle Barnabas said, hey, we're going on a mission trip. We're going with Paul. And remember, he was raised up in a godly house. His mother was Mary. Perhaps the first church met there. Perhaps it was where the Lord's Supper was. And Acts chapter 1, verse 18, when Pentecost came. Understand this, though, that he said, why not? Amen. I know Barnabas, my uncle. I know Paul. This is going to be a good thing. And so perhaps God never called John Mark to go to the mission field at that time. Nowhere in the scriptures did the scriptures tell us, as it did Barnabas and Saul, as we saw in this morning's message, that that the Holy Spirit called him to go, and he was sent by the church or released by the church in Antioch. It could be this as well. It could be another reason why he departed. It could be because he was homesick, which leads us to his destination and the second part of verse number 13. The Bible says, John Mark, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. Just maybe his destination as he was headed back to his home in Jerusalem. Maybe he made his mother his excuse. How many times has your wife or your husband made each other the excuse? Well, my husband doesn't really want me to do that, when they don't really want to do it either, but they didn't want to throw somebody else under the bus. How many times have we said, well, my wife doesn't really want me to do that, so I'm not going to go with you to do that tonight, all along knowing this, that you're throwing them under the bus. So maybe what John Mark did, perhaps he could have threw his mother under the bus. Maybe he simply said this, listen, we don't know anything about John Mark's father. The Bible doesn't mention anything. So I would imagine probably that he was a that she was raising him up on her own. We don't know that for sure, but I think that we could reasonably assume that that happened. So maybe he was thinking, listen, I'm worried about my mother. She has nobody there to take care of her. Things aren't going very well back in Jerusalem. There's a famine going on there. I think my mother needs me. Remember, persecution had begun in Jerusalem, and maybe he was just worried about that. But understand this evening that whatever the reason was, and let me just remind you again that we don't know the reason. These are just some speculations that we could draw on from history and perhaps from John Mark's life and his family life. We understand this, that the Holy Spirit takes a very, very serious view abandoning a commitment in such a careless manner. Think about it. John Mark's defection added extra burdens to the two missionaries. Remember, he was a minister. He was a servant. He was a gopher. He was the one that perhaps prepared the food, set the tent up, went down to the market to get whatever they needed, made preparations where they were going to go to preach at in the synagogues. That was what his job was. So all of a sudden now, John Mark is nowhere to be found, and it calls extra burden upon the Apostle Paul and Barnabas. And later, really, it led to a very, very serious disagreement between these two men. Think about it. They laughed together. They loved together. They ate together. They launched down the first missionary journey together. But this disagreement about allowing John Mark to come back again and go again calls Barnabas to leave the Apostle Paul and take John Mark with him. Well, not only do we see who John Mark was and that he had a great upbringing and a great ministry opportunity. Fourthly, he had a great failure, but then notice fifthly, John Mark had a great reversal. You see, this is where we ought to be at today. We looked at his failure, and yes, he did have a failure, but understand this, he had a great reversal in that failure as well. And as we close, I want to look at John Mark's reversal this evening. And after Mark's initial failure as a co-worker on Paul's first missionary journey, guess what? I already told you, he teamed up with Barnabas. Later, we find him at Paul's side during Paul's imprisonment, his first imprisonment in Rome. Paul then acknowledged him later on as his fellow laborer who was there to comfort him during his imprisonment in Philemon and verse 24. Later, we find Peter at Babylon, and he's with his spiritual father, John Mark. John Mark is Peter's spiritual father, and we find him there in 1 Peter 5 in verse 13, where we read this morning. And then we find him as they leaving Babylon. He goes to Asia Minor during Paul's second imprisonment, and there we find he urged Timothy, who was Ephesus, to bring John Mark with him to Rome, because in 2 Timothy 4:11, the Bible says, because he was profitable to me for the ministry. So our takeaway tonight isn't simply this, that John Mark was a man who turned back. That's only half the story. We have the story of redemption. We have the story of grace. We have the story of forgiveness in John Mark's life. We understand this, but later he turned out. So whatever caused him to desert Paul and Barnabas, notice this, he got it right. He made it right. And as a result, he was greatly used by God. Listen, if you're here tonight and you've gotten away from the Lord, you need to confess it, you need to forsake it, and get it right with God, and come back to him very quickly. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, understanding this about John Mark, the young man who turned back, but later turned out. There's hope for you and I. There's redemption for you and I. There's forgiveness for you and I. John Mark had a great upbringing. He had a great ministry opportunity. He even had a great failure, but thank God he had a great reversal. Perhaps you see yourself in the life of John Mark today, and you have had a great upbringing, and you have set before you today, right here at Sharon Baptist Church, a great ministry opportunity. But somehow you have failed God. And you failed yourself, and you're living in complete failure in the eyes of God. Listen, here's the good news. The good news is that it's not too late for you to have a great reversal in your life. It's up to you. You have to make the decision. You have to decide tonight to say, okay, God, I'm a failure. I failed you in what you have given me to do. I have a great ministry opportunity. I had a great upbringing. And God, you know my heart and know who I am. And so, God, I'm going to make that decision tonight to return back to you and have a reversal in my life. But listen, it's not going to happen just because we want it and desire it. It will happen as you forsake your sin and come back to a righteous and holy God. Just as John Mark got it right, so can you. And remember, it's not how you start. God is more interested in how you finish. Let's finish well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for